right.
Well, here we are. Another week down. Boy, I tell you what, it's been great. It's been a learning week.
Man,
so I'm happy to be here tonight. I didn't think I was going to make it. Just kind of cutting it close. I said, well, I had backup. So, but anyway, we're going to get started here. We got a lot to cover. I know we say it all the time, and it truly is a lot.
It always is. And we're in Maquettes.
Torah portion 10, at the end or completion. And the reading is from Bereshit 41:1 through 44:17. And the Haftorah is 1 Kings 3, it starts at verse 15 through 4:1. So, it's been great. I've been looking at this all week. And I was still reflecting back on what we have learned last week, how Yah is counting. You know, that was the days that he was counting those days. And Yosef, he's right there. He don't know it yet, but boy, he's about to be put in a spot that is unbelievable. And not only what I learned this week, not only is Yah counting, he's also keeping record. Mm-hmm. And we know he keeps record. We know because in Revelations, in Hazan, Revelations 20:11, it says that. Let me read it that way. Don't just take my word for it. Revelation chapter 20.
And verse 11. I'm going to read it from a Hebrew gospel. That's been pretty good. I've been enjoying reading that this week. So I'll read through our text too also. And I'm going to read through this also. It just kind of gives you a different aspect or just kind of wording just a little different in some areas, but it has the same meaning. He said, then I saw in verse 11, then I saw a great throne which was white and him who sat on it. And from before him the heavens and the earth fled away, but no place was found for them. And I saw the dead ones, that the great ones and the small ones of them stood before Jehovah. And the scrolls were open. I know we read our King James Version, and it says the books were open. So it's I can go with that. Were open, and another scroll was open. And this is the scroll of life, to judge the dead ones according to what is written in the scrolls, even according to their works. So not only y'all counting, he's keeping record. And he ain't keeping record because he forgets anything. He just keeping record because we forget. This is going to be a reminder for the believer and the unbeliever. That's what I believe. Not because, look, because we know, especially men, especially me. I ain't going to say men. I'm going to say me. I forget. That's things I forget. And sometimes it's because your mind is racing so fast, you know. And we see that. We even see that in the text. You know, what happened to yourself? What are we learning right now? So this is what I just wanted to point that little note out. Not only does he keep count, he keeps record. Amen? Mm-hmm. All right. Let's get back to our text. Back to 41. I'm going to cover a few verses. Then we're going to jump right into it. This is just a little lanyard. In Genesis 40, in case some of y'all that might have missed Midrash, because if you missed Midrash, we covered some of these verses, and it was very good. I'm going to just catch up to speed. And it came to be, in Genesis 41:1, at the end of 2 years' time, you know that time is Yom, that Pharaoh had a dream and saw him standing by the river, and saw 7 cows coming out of the river, beautiful looking and fat, and fed amongst the reeds. Then saw 7 other cows coming after them out of the river, ugly and lean of flesh, and stood by the other cows on the bank of the river. And the ugly and lean of flesh cows ate up the 7 beautiful looking and fat cows. Then Pharaoh awoke. And he slept and dreamed a second time and saw 7 heads of grain coming up on one stalk, plump and good. And saw 7 lean heads, scorched by the east wind, coming up after them.
And the seven lean heads swallowed up the seven plump and complete heads. And Pharaoh woke and saw it was a dream. And it came to be in the morning that his spirit was moved, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Mitzrayim and all its wise men. And Pharaoh related to them his dreams, but there was no one who could interpret them for Pharaoh. Then the chief cupbearer spoke to Pharaoh, saying, I remember my crimes this day. I'm going to stop right there, because that is just saying a lot for a whole mouthful up to verse 9. But what I really want to look at, because we talked about last week how time is not on our side anymore, I don't believe. We talked about time. Had Jehovah not shortened the days? He gave us all these scriptures in the book of Matthew when we talked about, when we were being taught this last week. How we feel like, what if this is the end? What if these are our last 4 or 5 good years that's coming right now, that we better get all we can? We should be paying close attention and being more actively involved in the Word and in our daily routines, you know, doing something. We should not be just idle. So I want to read something. I want to go to our Haftorah. You know, sometimes I know it gets a little overlooked. But what if this is all we had? What if they came tonight or tomorrow and say, you know what? You're not permitted to teach Torah anymore. Can we still go somewhere? Is there a spot that we can still go to and navigate to help teach, to help be a part of the ministry? Because this is what happened. They were forbidden at one time to teach, because you got to go look it up. I don't have time to do all that tonight, because I kind of picked and nitpicked here and there throughout the week. But what if this was all we have? Just little pieces, little sections that we can go relate to. Now, one thing I've learned, I know it starts at 1 Kings, and it starts at chapter 3 and verse 15. Well, how many of you know the whole sprinkles start falling out when you start going to? It's hard to break something in half, you know, when you got so much good section right above it. No one takes a piece of cake, and at least I don't think, and just eats out the middle and leave the top. So we got to get the frosting. We got to get to all the good stuff to really get to the cake. So let's take it from the top in Genesis, in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 1. And Shlomo joined marriage with Pharaoh, sovereign of Mitzrayim. And you're going to see all the tie-ins. You're going to see all these little words that we're going to point out, and just the definitions of them. It matches perfectly. And took the daughter of Pharaoh and brought her to the city of Dawid, until he had completed building his own house and the house of Jehovah and the wall all around Jerusalem. Now we know that Yosef's going to get a wife. Then Mitzrayim, he's dealing with Pharaoh. That's still a Pharaoh here that he's dealing with. So all these little tie-ins, trust me, when you pull up the strong and you go look at, they all go back to the beginning. That's what's so beautiful about it. It says, only the people slaughtered at the high places. For the house of the name of Jehovah had not been built until those days. Now, these high places, and something that kind of caught my attention. I said, let me go look at that. What do you mean the people slaughtered the high place? Well, according to scripture, what I see, it ain't very good. And we want to know that we're dealing with dreams and dreams and dreamer. Because you remember how all this started with dreams. Even Joseph's daddy had dreams. We've seen it also in scripture. Now, I almost got too fast ahead of myself. But let me get back to this. Let's go back to, the high places. The high places, 4116 Lamar, means high place, ridge, height. Technical name for a cultic platform. Now, all these, I'm going to give you scripture. I just paraphrased them because I didn't, my paper, man, it takes up a lot of space. So I'm just going to read part. I'm going to give you some scripture. Y'all can write them down, go back and read the whole thing for yourself. In Leviticus 26:30, it says, I will destroy your high places. But it said only the people slaughtered there. So we got an issue right here. In Numbers 33:52, he said, and laid waste all their high places. So we can see that high places is not, right now, it's not a good looking thing. But look right here. This one I have to read to you. It's also in Numbers 21. In verse 25. And Yisrael took all these cities, and Yisrael dwelt in all the cities of the Amorites in Heshbon and in all his villages, for Heshbon was the city of Sihon, the sovereign of the Amorites, who had fought against the former sovereign of Moab and had taken all his land from his hand as far as the Arnon. This is why those who speak in Proverbs say, come to Heshbon, and let the city of Sihon be built and established. For fire went out from Heshbon, and a flame from the city of Sihon. It consumed Ar of Moab, the masters of the height of the Arnon, the heights of the Arnon. At heights there, it's talking about the high places. In Devarim 33:13, no, hold on before, yeah. Let me read this one to you. I just went ahead and I picked out a few. So we can see in Deuteronomy 33. And of Joseph he said, blessed of Jehovah is his land, with the choices from the heaven, with the dew and the deep lying beneath, with the choice fruits of the sun, with the choice yield of the months, with the finest of the ancient mountains, with the choices of the everlasting hills, with the choices of the earth and all that fills it, and the good pleasure of him who dwelt in the bush. Let it come to on the head of Joseph, and on the crown of his, of the head of him who was separated from his brothers. Right here in this little section, he was talking about the high place, but I think I lost my number on it. I forgot to write down what was the exact go-to verse.
32:13.
Yeah, I got that. I know I got it in here, because there's another word. It talks about the, it don't say high places. It says the, I'm sorry. I know I got it in here. I just can't find it at the moment. All my writings. But it, right here, we're talking about this high place. If we go, I'm going to have to go back and find. I apologize.
32:29.
Oh, yeah, I was reading the whole thing, and that's why I marked it. Yeah. It said, but blessed are you, O Yisrael, who is like you. Thank you, Pastor. A people saved by Jehovah, the shield of your help, and he who is the sword of your excellency. And your enemies are subdued for you, and you tread down their high places. But before you get to that, it's in the positives. Only why this high place we're talking about is in the positive, because Jehovah is there. You're going to see what I'm talking about when I go back to 1 Kings, because also, and I'm going to go back to 1 Kings, but also in Leviticus 22. Boy, I tell you, it was just one of these weeks. In Leviticus 22 and Numbers 22, verse 41. I know that we hadn't got to this part of the Torah portion yet. It said, it came to be in the morning that Balak took Balaam and brought him up to the high place of Baal, and from there he saw the extremity of the camp. Next chapter. And Balaam said to Balak, build 7 slaughter places for me here, and prepare 7 bulls and 7 rams for me here. And Balak did as Balaam had spoken, and Balak and Balaam offered a bull and a ram on each slaughter place. Balaam then said to Balak, stand by your ascending offering, and let me go on. It might be that Yehovah does come to meet me, and whatever he shows me, I shall declare to you. And he went to the bare height. I just wanted to show you that this high place is in the positive when Yehovah is there. Because we're going to see, the reason why I say that, let me go back to 1 Kings. Because the people slaughtered the high place in verse 3, in verse 2. But in verse 3 of 1 Kings 3:1, 3:3, and Shlomo loved Yehovah, walking in the laws of his father, David, except that he slaughtered and burned incense at the high places. So we see there's a little something going on. There's an issue. There's a little hiccup in Shlomo's life. And Yehovah knows that. He knows we have issues in our life. Let me just point this out to you, because we probably wouldn't look at this. Look at the word except. Those of you have the, you might have your deal to look at. We probably wouldn't think about looking at these words. It's the word only. It's 7535. It's rack. Lean, same as 7534 as a noun. Properly leanness, that is limitation only, adverbially, merely, conjunctionally, although, but, even, except, howbeit, howsoever, at the least, nevertheless, notwithstanding, only save that surely yet, sure in any wise. So that you read it, kind of, where does that fit in there? Well, what you got to do with what we're looking at is the ancient Hebrew, what I want to point out. It means, and the action is draw, and the more concrete is grasp. Now, some of us farmers in here, because this is what it says. Thin green blades of grass that are drawn out of the soil. Now, I don't know about y'all, but that caught my attention when I was going through that, because for the first time in my life, I'm a farmer. When I used to live on Grand Bayou, I tell everybody now I'm from Bootville. So I'm a farmer now. We got a garden. And what are we doing there? We go in there, when we see something that don't belong, my wife and I, we start plucking out things that don't belong. Just like in our lives, that Yehovah wants to come and pluck things out that really don't belong in his garden. And he explained that very well in the Brit Hadishah. He talked about some things, about being plucked out. So I thought this was plucked out of the soil, very, very important. It also means, if you go down a little further, if you look at B definition, spit. As green as drawn out of the mouth. Now this, he might be, oh, brother, what you talking about tonight? Well, sometimes you have to cough stuff up. It's not what goes in that defiles a man, it's what comes out of him. And sometimes, look, he wants to get that stuff out of you. And it might seem nasty at times. You can't, look, sin is ugly. There's nothing pretty about sin. But these bitter roots and stuff that take root down in us, he wants to pluck out. I thought this was beautiful. We also have seen, who else did some spitting at one time? If you turn the pages into your back end of the book, our master. This ties into our master. You've seen 3 separate occasions that he used spit or spittle, whatever fits your definition. But wait, this is only just the beginning. Something that's drawn out of the mouth. I thought that was, hey, look, and sometimes when you got a cold, and you go coughing, you're hacking, it can be nasty. And that's how sin is. It wants to grab hold to you. It wants to drag you down. And when it does come up, it's ugly. And it takes Yehovah, it takes that hand, that the head
and the arm of Yehovah to reach down there and pluck that stuff out of us. Because if we think we can get it out of our own accord, we're fooling ourselves. We go around, we say, you know, we got this thing in, like tomorrow morning, you might hear, are you good? You might want to, sometimes we might want to think hard about that question. Are you good? Because you see, Ishurei was Shlomo. He's burning incense, but he loves the law of his father, Dawid, that he followed from Yehovah, walking in the law. He loved it, but he's burning incense. And the sovereign went to Gibeon to slaughter there, for that was the great high place. Now, we had another high place? Well, sure, yeah, there was more than one. Shlomo offered 1,000 ascending offering on that sort of place. There's a difference in this spot right here, because the very next verse tells us that. Why? And at Gibeon, Yehovah appeared. So all these high places, the one I lost track of a little while ago, this is what I was making that statement. And high place, it can be a good place if Yehovah is there, but sometimes when you're trying to do things on your own, and it don't work that way. We make high places in our lives. Well, you ask, what's the high place? Well, something that you spend more of your time to than what you do with him. Getting up at 3 o'clock every morning for 6 days in a row, it gets a little tiresome. It gets a little weary. So you try to be on point as much as I can. And look, these guys that, you know, that do the teaching, they know what I'm talking about. Y'all ladies know. Y'all get up early in the morning. Start spending time with him. You'll start feeling it. By the end of the week, you happy when Shabbat gets here. I know I am. Oh, boy. So this is something I want to point out with rack, about that accept. Because we would never think about looking at that word accept. Also, I'm not finished yet. The word only. It also has a root, H7534. It also means rack. But its definition is just thin and lean. Not thin and lean, that don't really seem like much. But these cows that came up out of now, you're going to see a little further, they were thin and lean. You said, man, well, so how all this fits? To me, all these definitions, I see tie-ins. That's all I just see is tie-ins when it comes to all this. It also has another root word, H7556, rakah. And that's where to spit. That also came into play. So let me move on from that. And the sovereign, verse 4, went to Gibeon to slaughter there, for that was the great high place. Shlomo offered 1,000 ascending offering on that slaughter place. At Gibeon, Yehovah appeared to Shlomo in a dream. Go figure that one. By night. And Elohim said, ask, what shall I give you? So we're dealing with dreams. Dreams is H2472. You know that's a... Now, in this Torah portion, there's a couple different kind of dreams. One is Halom, the one I just gave, H2472. And one is Halam. The only difference between the two, well, besides the number, H2492, only different, that's Halam. It has all the same definition, but it has one little extra meaning. It means you can have false prophets. It can also be healthy, be strong, or to restore health. It has a couple of extra definitions in this Halam. So we have to be careful with some dreams when you hear, well, they're a prophet. Or I'm here to prophesy in the name of you. How are we going to know? You have to match the word. That's one indicator. So I just thought that's a little extra, you know, a little something for you to look at. But in a dream by night, and he asked Shlomo, what shall I give you? And Shlomo said, you have shown great loving commitment to your servant, Dawid, my father. As he walked before you in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with you. And you have guarded
for him this great loving commitment, and did give him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now I went and looked, I took my time and I went and looked at all these little root words. But trust me, I couldn't put them all down. We don't have enough time. So you go back and please spend time, look at each one. It's beautiful the way it all lays out. Verse 7. And now, O Jehovah, my Elohim, you have set up your servant to reign instead of my father Dawi. What he is, a servant. But I am a little child. Wow. He's a grown man, but he's saying he's a little child. Why? Because I do not know how to go out or to come in. I thought that was beautiful. Now we got to spend some time there. And look at that. What is he talking about? In the English, I know what he... That's the thing about it. In English, we can just read through this, and we wouldn't blink too many eyes about it. But when you slow down and you start looking at the definitions of them, it really is beautiful. To go out is H3318. Now, I didn't write all these down, so I got to go back right here. It's Yatsah. To go out, come out, go forth. Look at all these words that is a primitive root, what it can be. It gives you a whole list right there. But what I did, I went down a little further and look at the ancient Hebrew, what it really means. Because we all about digging in Hebrew and ancient Hebrew. It means an issue or excrement. Oh boy. If we thought spittle was bad and spit was bad, here we got another issue. In French, we use the word dérangement. It means you got the diarrhea. That's what it means in French. That's how you say diarrhea in French. Something is sense of something issuing out of a man. Not only y'all want to pluck it out of your mouth as something green that is nasty. Look, that's other. He's going to use other ways to get it out of us. The picture of a man lying down or squatting to issue out of something. This parent root is related to the Zadi and the Yehud. The strength of the arm. Because that's who, sometimes when we got stuff going on inside, we need the strength of that arm to help us out. We can't, something we can't do on our own, I'm sorry. We have to go to the master builder, the planet who built us, who created us. Excrement. Now you think our master never talked about that? He talked about it. It's not what goes and defiles a man. He says, but it's what comes out of him. He talked about these things. He taught principles that we can see the tie-ins. And look, nobody likes to talk about that, but it's a part of your nature. Oh boy. What about to come in? Now I want you to empty it out. To come in is bow. In the ancient Hebrew, he means to fill the void. Because now, after he done got everything out of you, you're empty. What's he trying to put in us? He had to take Joseph, 17 years old, away from his family, away from his house, from his kindred, from his people. What he did with Abraham? Got to leave here. Except he did it in the easier way, it looked like, for Abraham. But hey, everybody's going to go through something different. Y'all has a different purpose and plan for everyone. In the end, the result is pretty going to be the same. Y'all going to be blessed by him. But why he does things the way he does, I can't answer that. But look, why Yosef went through it? But it was a blessing for Yosef to go through that. Because why? Y'all need to fill him. Because the position he's about to put him in for as a savior, for salvation. Because all today, there would be no Israel because of Yosef. Look. Because what we're going to read a little later on, when the famine hits, when it gets really bad, what does Pharaoh say? Go to Yosef. He's going to tell you what to do. And just like we have Yeshua today, who else are you going to go to?
For sure you ain't going to skip right over and go to Shaul. If you're doing that, you done messed up. You already lost already.
So I thought this was interesting, to fill the feeling of an empty space. The root is closely related to the bait and the hay and the bait and the yod.
So look, I got to practice on my ancient Hebrew letters.
Well, this is what we, like I said, we wouldn't look at these small little bitty words because we know what they mean in English. But this is what it does. This is why we're taking our time and we go through them little by little, you know, how to go out, how to come in. In the English, that would have been easy. He wants to be taught. Basically, that's what he's asking. But when you sit down and you break it apart, it's much, much more deeper than just want to be taught. Because
let me not go too fast.
Because Shlomo is going to tell the reason why he asked for this. He says, how to go out and how to come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Now that word counted, I didn't write it down or strong enough. It goes right back to Yosef because they stored up grain. They quit counting it. But we see it as a great multitude of people. Shlomo, at this time, he's king, and he needs to know how to take care of Yah's people. Just like Yosef, he had to put in charge. He's not only dealing with grain, he got to deal with the people too. So all these tie-ins, when you said to me, I thought it all matches. It fitted it so well. So shall you give to your servant an understanding heart to rule your people, to discern between good and evil. For who is able to rule this great people of yours? He asked these questions in a dream. He's speaking with Yehovah. And I thought that was so beautiful. And the word was good in the eyes of Yehovah that Shlomo had asked this. Now, where else have we just seen that? We've seen this verbiage just a few chapters back. Because when Yosef's going to speak to Pharaoh, let Pharaoh find someone who's wise and discerning to handle all this big old project. What does it say a few verses down? And the word was good to Pharaoh and the people. So I thought that was, man, this was all good. So Elohim said to him, because you have asked this and have not asked for life for yourself, notice that. Nor have asked riches for yourself. Nor have asked the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself discernment and understanding, right ruling. See, I shall do according to your words. See, I shall give you a wise and understanding heart. Don't you think Yosef had to have that? In order to be in that spot, at second in command, he had to have a wise heart. He had to be understand. He had to discern. He had to have all these qualifications that Shlomo was asking for. An understanding heart. So that there was none like you before you, and none like you shall arise after you. Look, there's some smart people, but the scripture said there ain't gonna be none like Shlomo. And who talks about that? Yeshua, our master. He said, Shlomo in all of his glory. Didn't he array? Remember he told the parables? So y'all, one thing we learned last week, we learned about Dawid, we learned about Yosef, how they all tie in together. Mm-hmm. And all these verses, they all tie in. Bless you. Oh, we coming to that. And if you walk in my ways, and if you walk in my ways, and if you walk in my ways, I don't know how many times we can, I can possibly say that, if you walk in my way, that's a condition for us. One of us had to walk in his ways. Even though there's a hang up, we just read a few verses earlier in Shlomo's life, he slaughtered these places, that he burned incense, he shouldn't have,
He said, if Yah's given up, Yah can give Shalom more chance. He gives his people a chance. But we have to walk in his ways. To guard my laws and my commands. I mean, we said that since we've been on this journey, we've been saying that. As your father thy weed walk, and I shall prolong your days. Who don't want longer days? I know, look, and the days are getting rough. Maybe we have a chance to get to that. But I still want my days to prolong. Look, I definitely would love to be alive when the time of the master shows up, to hear the trumpet sound. And look, it can happen in our lifetime. That's what's so amazing about it. Let's look at something. Let's look at the word if. Because Yeshua said, not one, the smallest dot or tittle, and be passing along. We wouldn't even look at this word if, because we already know what it is. It's H5:18. It's in. It's conditional causes of possible situation, of impossible situations. Look, not everything's going to be peaches and green, which we wanted to. That we're going to have some impossible situations. Tonight was one of my impossible situations. I'm trying to get, I want to get it all in because I've been at it all week, but I know it ain't going to happen. But I still want to try. And look, today it seemed impossible. I talked to the wife. I said, you know, I ain't going to make it. These guys are working a little later today. I said, I don't want to call Brother Rob because I know he's got the teaching tomorrow with the, yeah. I said, no pressure. I said, I don't want to call him, which, you know, I said, you know what? I'm going to call the pastor. Just made my decision to call the pastor and say, you know what, pastor, I'm prepared, but just, I don't want to call Brother Rob. I don't want to put him on the spot because I know he's prepping for tomorrow. And so I said, it's on you. Because the situation seemed impossible. I had enough time. I left New Orleans at 4 o'clock in the boat, run down the river, got in, obeyed the speed laws, coming all the way down home. Still had enough time to grab a bite to eat, take a shower, and still made it here on time. But the situation seemed impossible. Yeah. Yeah. Man, I tell you, I'm like, okay, you must really want me to be here. I said, you're coming kind of quiet. Well, I didn't want to disturb if you had got started. Oh, boy. Look at this. What is if? What is ancient Hebrew? It's bind and glue. What? The picture of the olive represents strength. The mem is water or of any liquid. Combine these pictographs mean strong liquids. Glue was made by placing the hides and other animals, part of slaughtered animals, in a pot of boiling water. As the hide ball, a thicky, sticky substance formed at the surface of the water. This substance was removed and used as a binding agent, armed with the addition of the R sound. This is how they made glue back then. Look, now you learn something when you just, the simple little word, if. Let's keep on going. The arm that holds things together. The arm is seen as glue that encircles and holds together. A cubit was the length of the arm from the elbow to fingertip. The mother, I thought this was beautiful, ladies, for y'all tonight, of the family is the one who binds the family together by holding in her arms and by the work of her arms. Mm-hmm. Y'all mothers, I love y'all with the work y'all do. Hold on, I'm not finished yet. Mother, one who arm holds the family together through her work and love, also one who fulfills the role of a mother. That was for you, Miss Kelsey, and Casey, and my sister over here. Y'all fulfill roles of mothers, even though y'all not a mother yet, or y'all don't have any children. Well, if y'all, look, I don't know about y'all, this made me excited.
to see just that little word if. How you're buying. Sometimes we need mother strength. Yeah, Yosef, I show right now at this point in his life, he would have loved to have his mother. And look, I had a mother like figure all my life. You know, now I have my mother now, but it's there's a little controversy at times. But she's still my mother. And I love her for it. But I grew up with a mother like figure. I'm going to tell you, they believe in old time religion. And spare the rod and spoil the child. Life was a little different. But mothers, they hold family together. That's nothing like a mother's love for a child. Mm-hmm. And for a baby and for a boy or girl. There's so many examples of things that I think about when I was reading all this. But I just wanted to point that out for your mothers here, how beautiful it is in the scripture. Just a little bitty simple word, if, that we wouldn't even think thought about. So that goes to show the smallest little things in the word. You know, we got to take our time to really look at it. Yeah. Y'all give us time, we got to do something with it. It's more than just playing a little game on our phone or lollygagging. That's things to do. Boy, this is beautiful. And Shlomo, verse 15, awoke, and see, it was a dream. What the subject are we dealing with? Dreams. That's what we're dealing with, that Yosef had to interpret dreams, and he had dreams. And this is what this portion, this front section of the portion is about dreams. Because we're going to see somebody about to have a dream that he's going to pull him right out of the pit, and he's going to answer. Doesn't interpretation come from Yehovah? Because look, since this started, I had four dreams. Actually, this is my wife. I told it all to her. They're short little dreams, but I remember in detail. And it's been 2 weeks now. But I can tell you, and just in detail, what I've been dealing with, just seeing in my dreams, seeing faces. And I never dream. This is it. So I know that, and with it being consistent as it was, it only had to be Yehovah. Anyway. And Shlomo awoke, and see, it was a dream. And he came into Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of Yehovah and offered up ascending offerings and made peace offerings, and he made a feast for all his servants. This is where the Haftorah would have started, right here in this verse. And two women, verse 16, whores. I'm sorry, that's just what it is. Or harlots. We learned both ones. Came to the sovereign and stood before him. I'm trying not to miss nothing. I got something on here that I missed. Just give me 1 second. Let me just look at it. Oh, this was just a scripture reference about John 9:6, when Yeshua spat on the ground and made clay and put it on the guy's eyes. Okay. So back, let me go back. And the two women whores came before the sovereign and stood before him. And the one woman said, "Oh, my master, this woman and I dwelt in the same house, and I gave birth while she was in the house. And it came to be the third day after I have given birth that this woman also gave birth, and we were together. There was no one else with us in the house, only the two of us in the house. Then this woman's son died in the night because she lay on him. And she rose in the middle of the night and took my son from my side while your female servant slept, and laid him in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And I rose up in the morning to nurse my son and saw he was dead. But I looked closely in the morning and saw he was not my son whom I had born." Now, we learn about the morning. We learn in the morning about on Wednesday night. Boker. And the, verse 22, and the other woman said, no, but the living one is my son, and the dead one is your son. And the first woman said, no, for the dead one is your son, and the living one is my son. And they spoke before the sovereign. And the sovereign said, how do you know there's coming a time when the sovereign is going to say, it's time. There's going to be a time that, look, we can't stop it. And the sovereign said, bring me a sword. Why a sword? Why did he say bring a sword? Because why? He said, because the sword is quick and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. The sword was about to divide. You can see the wisdom of Shlomo. And I wrote it down. And before the sovereign, and the sovereign said, divide the living child into two, and give half to one and half to the other. So the sword, we know that I just mentioned the scripture, it was in Hebrews. We covered that the other night, and I thought that was beautiful. Divide the living child, the sovereign said, divide the living child into two, and give half to one and half to the other. And the woman whose son was living spoke to the sovereign, for she was overcome with compassion for her son. There goes that mother. There goes that if. And she said, oh, my master, give her the living child and by no means kill him. But the other said, let him be neither mine nor yours, but divide him. And the sovereign answered and said, give the first woman the living child, and by no means kill him, for she is his mother. And all Israel heard of the right ruling which the sovereign had rendered, and they feared the sovereign, for they saw that the wisdom of Elohim was in him to do right ruling. Sometimes we have to seek right ruling and wisdom. That only comes from Yehovah. That wisdom is 24:51. Chokmah is wisdom. And the right ruling is his mishpat. H 49:41. And then you can go to mishpatim, because there's a bunch of them. All right. Back to our 41. Then the chief cupbearer, verse 9, spoke to Pharaoh saying, I remember my crime this day. What? Now you remember? What crime? Back in where he forgot in Genesis chapter 40, verses 14 through 23, he forgot about what Joseph had done. You remember how it seemed so sad when we read the end of that? But it's always in the plan of Yehovah about that. In Bereshit 8:1, now I paraphrase these, because verse 9, that word remember is Zakar, H 21:42. You can go look it up. It means to remember. But in Bereshit 8:1, now I paraphrase these, so you can write them down, go back and read them. In Bereshit 8:1, and Yehovah remember Noach. Yeah, I don't forget. That's one thing about it. You can count on him and his word. He doesn't forget. Right. You know, we forget. That's why he tells us. He gives us one specific day out of the week. Remember. And we can't say it loud enough, but we can't scream it enough. In Bereshit 19:29, Yehovah remembered Abraham. In Bereshit 30:22, Yehovah remembered Rahel. Remember, we covered all these already. But I'm going to show you that he remembers. Yah don't forget. He also commands us to remember in Shemot 28. Remember the Sabbath. And this is what my four dreams was all about. All four of them had to deal with the Sabbath. Me trying to explain to family that I'm related to about how important this is. Because if it wasn't important, why would he put it 176 times in the scripture?
For us to forget?
Let's look at another story. Let's go to Luke. This is a beautiful one. Luke 23. Verse 39. And one of the evildoers who were hanged was speaking evil of him, saying, "If you are the Messiah, save yourself and us." Now that hanging, it's not hanging with a rope, I promise you. It's the word is impaled. It's G2910. I've been saying it all day. Krim Mumi.
I know I ain't really right. I'm trying though. I'm sorry, I'm trying.
That's the word for hang or impale. He said, "But if you are the Messiah, save yourself and us." You can see the enemy. Even, look, to your very last breath, he's still after you. But the other responding rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear Elohim, since you are under the same judgment?" Now, when you read in the Hebrew Matthew, that's not Hebrew, not for this account. I'm sorry. This is Luke. "Since you're in the same judgment, we all three impaled here. And you still want to know if he's Messiah?" Let's see what else he has in verse 41. "And we indeed rightly so, for we received the due reward for our deed. But this one has done no wrong." Let's see, verse 39. This is what I was looking at. This one, before I go too far. In King James, it was using the word malefactors. Mm-hmm. Kekagos. Kekagos is a wrongdoer, a criminal, evildoer. It also, its root is kekos. It's G2556. It's worthless. Bad, evil, harm, ill, noisome, wicked. It's biblical uses. It's just bad nature, etc. The list goes on. And it goes into another root word, argon, which is, I thought it was a little different. We didn't see our master. We didn't see Yosef. And none of these characters lined up with Yosef. But this is what they blame our master for. They put blame on yourself. They say he tried to rape Potiphar's wife. So when you think they're not going to blame our master? But this one sinner is railing on him, spitting out accusations, and the other one is another sinner taking up for him because he recognized something in our master. He says in verse 41. Well, he said, in verse 40, he said, "But the other responded and rebuked him, saying, 'Do you not even fear Elohim, since you are under the same judgment?'" Verse 41, "And we indeed rightly so, for we receive the due reward our deeds, but this one has done no wrong." Now, in the King James Version, I just wanted to share this. That's just something that caught my attention. When it says does no wrong, use the word amiss. I'm like, okay, what is that? It's G824. Atopos. It means improper, injurious, wicked, amiss, harmful, unreasonable. It's biblical usage, out of place, not befitting, unbecoming, improper, wicked, unrighteous, inconvenient, harmful. Just a little something extra that what they was all accusing him of. This is none of his character. Just the worldly character. We can tie this into Potiphar's life. Not into our master, but he's a word that he used, in this. And I thought just something to look at. Verse 42. And he said to Yeshua, Master, remember me when you come into your reign. This is what he asked for. Now here's a sinner who probably never been to Shabbat. Might have just heard. Might have never been baptized. All these things that he probably never done. He probably been around church, but never been in church. But he's asking for mercy right here. Remember me. Now I wonder if Yeshua is going to remember that man. Let's see. G 34:15. Manaamai. Middle voice of the riv of G 33:06, or perhaps the base of 33:31:45, through the idea of fixture in the mind of mental grasp to bear in mind, i.e. collect by implementation, maybe you got to go read it for yourself, to reward or punish, be mindful, remember, come, the list goes on. It also goes in, it ties into what was so beautiful, 33:06, Minnow. We have to stay in him. That's what it all boils down to that. Because what did he tell Shlomo? If you walk in my laws and obey my commands. We don't see that for this guy here. But we see the mercy hand of Yah right here upon this man's life. And I thought that was so beautiful that he asked, remember me. And this, like I said, the list just goes on. When you come into your reign. Now we know what the reign is. It's royal power. It's G 9:32. Kingship, dominion, rule. What does the scripture say about him? When he comes, this is how he's going to be. He's going to rule and reign with a rod of iron. There'd be no tricking him. I can tell you that. When he calls for Shabbat, we're going to be there. We're all prepped and ready now. We're really waiting on him. But he has some flaws, like Shlomo, that he wants to pluck out. We have to get out of our lives. I don't know what they are. I can probably throw out some stuff, but I'm not here to pass judgment. I'm just here to examine yourself. That's what the scripture says, for us to examine ourselves. And Yeshua said to him, truly, I say to you today, comma, that's in the right spot. Because boy, I pulled that up because I remember teaching a while back about there's some trickery going on in the word. And if you move that, it tells you a different way. And then you get in a whole nother teaching or belief system that people fall into that trap. You shall be with me in paradise. And that paradise is talking about what I can Google, what I can find out. It's talking about like the Garden of Eden, not where the angels are singing, as we have been taught years and years ago. I'm so thankful that he brought us for where we're at today, you know, to open our eyes, to slow down, and to see the beauty of his word, and to learn, be willing to learn. Man, I'm telling you, this is, I remember my crimes. When Pharaoh was wroth, here we go again. We touched on that last time I was here. With his servants, and put me in confinement in the house of the captain of the guard, both me and the chief baker. Now that wrath, let me tell you, it can get bad. We know it can get really bad because, last time I talked about it, I only got through a couple of verses. Because wrath goes in anger. It goes sideways to where if you cross the line, it'll lead to murder. And how do we know that? Do we have an example that we can go to? I'm glad y'all asked. Let's go to the book of Matthew. Go to the Matthew chapter 2 and verse 16. Let's see what wrath looks like. Because you think, yeah, it's more than what we just can imagine. Then Herodias, having seen that he was fooled by the Magi, was greatly enraged. He mad. Why? Because they tricked him. They told him, yeah, we're coming back. We're going to come back. We're going to let you know where we've seen the star and where this king's going to arise. We're coming back to tell you. This is what he wanted. But when he was fooled, he was greatly enraged, and he sent forth and slew all the male children in Bethlehem and all its borders from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had exactly learnt from the Magi. Then was filled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, a voice in Ramah, a voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and weeping and great mourning. Rahel, weeping for her children, refused to be comforted because they was no more. Now, it's going to read different in the Hebrew, I promise you. But I go to show it, the mother's weeping. Why? Because she just lost a child. Why? Because wrath, it got so bad in the heart of this king, he took it to a whole nother level. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine what's happening over in Israel? We're over here kicking back tonight. Some of them probably down in bunkers, not knowing they're going to get bombed tonight or bombed in the morning. Some of them have lost children since all this began. This is nothing new to the believer. The word's been out there. We just hadn't been paying attention. Mm-hmm. Now you're always so thankful that now that we're getting this Torah portion and we're finally seeing that history right now is unfolding in front of our eyes, and we're that much closer to the Master. Oh, I tell you, it's exceedingly wroth. 23:73, thumo, to put in a passion in rage. Be wroth is biblical use to cause one to become incensed, to provoke to anger, to be wroth. That word mocked also in it is emhizo. G1702, to play with, trifle with, to mock, to delude, deceive. The G2373 has a root, 2372, thermos, which means fierceness, indignation. It's biblical use, passion, angry, heat, anger, forthwith, balling up, and soon subsiding again. I'm sure after he don't think he slaughtered all the children, and he was comfortable then. It also has a root, G2380, thuro, to rush, breathe hard. You ever seen somebody in a rage that they're not out of control? I've seen people like that already. Blow smoke. The smoke puff out their ears. But if you look close at them, they come. It got to come out somewhere. By implication, to sacrifice, purposely by fire, but in genitive case, well, I got to read my own handwriting. By extension, to impolish. Go back and read it for yourself. G2380. Slaughter for any purpose. Kill. Do sacrifice. Slay. You go read the definition. So wrath is very, look, with some lines we cannot cross them. We covered that already when I mentioned it a while back. So you can see that he remembers. He remembered his crime. Finally, when Pharaoh was wroth with his servant and put me into confinement in the house of the captain of the guard, both me and the chief baker, in the house of the assassin. I thought that was beautiful. I've never seen that. I'm glad that was pointed out to me. I've learned that. But I want to stop there. How would we look like, bro? I got a few couple more minutes. Huh?
15 minutes.
Oh, boy. Let's go to something. Because while we're fixing to get to a famine here, let's go to the book of Amos. I'm going to close with the book of Amos. Amos chapter 8, verse 1. This is what the Master Yehovah showed me. And see, a basket of summer fruit. A summer fruit at the end. When you see the fruit come out, it's been growing. You've been watching, waiting all this time. Well, we had our fruit came out on our the tree, the by the driveway right there, persimmon. I couldn't get the word out. Look, we had like 40 of them came out, and look, we waited and waited and waited, and let me tell you, the wait paid off. Boy, it was so good. So this was talking about this summer fruit. Because when it came to the end of summer, and here we are in the fall, and it's over with. So this is what the summer fruit is. This is the end. And he said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. And Yehovah said to me, the end has come upon my people, Yisrael. No longer do I pardon them. Now this is serious. My people. He's not going to pardon. Because some things, you know, at some point in time, we got to, like we heard before, we got to quit the nonsense. This pardon, or pass by, is the word abar. And it, when you click on it, it has a big old definition. If you have the strong look at it, there's so much in there that we can't. It would take it till next Shabbat just to go through all of them. It goes to show that he says he's not going to pardon. Why? Because there's some issues that he wants to get out of us. That's why some of the definition came out before I got to this part. It has a root. The word end. It says the end has come. End is kates. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Hates. It's pronounced hates. It has the K, but it's pronounced hates. It's H7093, end of time, end of space. It was simply just the end. So what if we at this point in our time of our lives right now, you know, we got new presidency here in office. Suppose we're at the end. As I think about that, and I think about what we talked about, because Yeshua talked about the end. Could this be the time? I don't know. But all the signs are there. All the pieces are on the chessboard. If you know anything about chess, all the players are there. What do you see? My people. Why does he call us his people? Because that's who we are. And it goes to where it says in 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, if my people, which are called by my name, that's who we're representing, that's who we're saying who we are tonight. If we humble ourselves and pray and seek his faith and turn from our wicked ways, or evil ways, it says. So can we still be his people and have wicked ways, evil ways? Yeah, We got to go back and examine ourselves. Look, it really is a lot. When we say we have the lot, it is a lot. I have no longer part in them. Now he's talking about Israel here, but we're part of Israel. When you accept him, you become Israel. You become like your master. You become like them. That's why we want to look like him. We want to walk like him. We're representing him. No longer do I pardon them. And the songs of the heckle shall be wailing in that day. Now tomorrow we're going to sing praise unto him. Look at that, when this day comes, it's going to be wailing. Your song is going to be wailing in that day, declares the Master Yehovah. Many dead bodies everywhere, thrown into any place. Hush! We should have known this was coming. This is nothing new. Wailing or howling. H 3213, Yalal, howling at the night like a wolf or a dog. Just go back and look at the roots to all this. And when do people howl? Look, you go outside, the full moon. You might hear howling tonight. This is what he describes, some of these words, when you go into the ancient Hebrew and all the time. This is what it brings out. Because there's going to be a time and a day, and let me tell you, it's going to be terrible. It's terrible. It's about to be terrible in Egypt. When Joseph's going to interpret the dream of Pharaoh, I'm so thankful that Pharaoh listened to Joseph. Huh? Because this is about to be terrible. Dead bodies are going to be everywhere. This Torah portion is right here in Amos. Thrown everywhere in the place. Good thing for Joseph. Listen, at a young age, from the little bit of time he had with his mother and the wrestle of his father, and from the age of 17, he has no more. Who he has? Jehovah was with him. That's all he needed. Hear this, you who are swallowing up the needy to do away with the poor of the land. You know, that goes on. That happens today. Saying, when does the new moon pass so that we sell grain, and the Sabbath so that we trade our wheat, to make an ephod small and a shekel large, and to falsify the scale by deceit? That's a big one. I'm running out of time, so I want to try to get it in while I want to get to. But in the day, we got a new moon. This is the new moon. Once the new moon passed, yeah, the next month's coming. This time is still going to go on. It don't stop. That's what he's talking about. He told me, look, and it's not going to be fair. He's talking about you're going to work hard for nothing. People are doing that now. To buy the poor for silver and needy for a pair of sandals and sell the chaff for the wheat. Now that's don't. I got the strong right here on it. Go look at it for yourself. It's like buying go buy your bag of popcorn, throw the popcorn away, and eat the little husk part. That's basically what it is. It's nothing. This is what that chaff is. Nothing. You work for nothing. This is about to happen in Egypt. They're about to go through a famine. But look what the word here says. What Jehovah says. Yehovah has sworn by the excellency of Yaakov, I shall never forget any of their work. Never forget. He remembers. Because he writes it down. Is that why? No. He don't forget nothing. But he keeps record. That's why I thought it was so beautiful. Shall the land not tremble for this? And everyone mourn who dwells in it? Look, when the day comes, what the word tells, there's going to be a day of mourning. Wailing. People are going to wish they had been here tonight. And all of it shall swell like the river, heave and subside like the river Mitzrayim. It's talking about the Nile, by the way. And it shall be in that day, declares the Master Yehovah, that I shall cause the sun to go down at noon and shall darken the earth on a day of brightness. I thought about that today. Right now it gets dark so quick. But you can imagine 12 o'clock being dark already? I go to bed early now. More or less what he's talking about right here. Let me hurry up. And shall turn your festivals into mourning and your songs into lamentation. That lamentation, that's big. And bring sackcloth on all loins and baldness on every head, and shall make it like mourning for an only son, and its end like the day of bitterness. Has a day coming. We've been saying it for a long time, and boy, we're that much closer now. See, the days are coming. This is where I want to get. Declared the Master Yehovah. And I shall send a hunger in the land. Not a hunger for bread, nor a hunger for water, nor a thirst for water, but for hearing the words of Yehovah. That's going to be a sad day. Tonight we have liberty in Him. We can come and hear the word and learn. And sometimes it sounds funny, and it's all because we're learning. It's going to sound a little funny. But can you imagine not having the word at all? Where would you be tonight? Think about where you were at 20 years ago. We weren't here on Shabbat on a Friday. I know I wasn't. A hunger in the land. What's about to happen in Mitzrayim? We're about to learn. There are about to be a bunch of starving thousands. And not just in Mitzrayim. They're throughout the face of the land. That's what the scripture says. They're going to come from all over. I thought you were going to recognize, but you're getting some good stuff. And they shall wander, what's going to happen? From sea to sea, and from the north to east, and shall diligently search, seeking the word of Jehovah. But, I didn't Google that. They shall not find it. You know why? Because by when this day comes, we should already have it here. We should already going to know that we can, that Dawid said that with his word that we hid in his heart, that we might not sin against him. We're going to know. Well, that's why we got this opportunity and time. And look, I didn't see Amos until Thursday. This popped on me Thursday morning. There's another sprinkle on my page. And I was like, what is this? Because we're about to be in a famine. And this is going to be, to me, the famine of all famines. When you don't have no word, there's something you can rely on. Because when heaven and earth passes away, but his word remains, we better grab hold of this. In that day, the beautiful maidens and strong young men shall faint from thirst. Why? But there's no more word. Oh, how I wish I'd have been writing down, listen, when the pastor was speaking, or when Brother Rob was speaking, or when Brother Chad was speaking. Oh, I should have been there tuned in, because the famine is coming. Those swearing by the guilt of Shimron, who say, as your mighty one lives, O Dan, and as the way of Beersheba lives, they shall fall and never rise again. These are all places that we know about. But how terrible is going to be in that day. And not have, I can't imagine not coming here on a Friday night on Shabbat. That time when I know a couple of times I worked away. Trust me, if I can run 150 miles an hour to get here Friday, I would. But trust me, while I'm traveling, I'm thinking about y'all. My spirit man is here, and I'm listening to, you know, because I'm waiting for it to come out. Because that's how bad I want to be here. But anyway, that's all I got for tonight. I had to cut that one a little short, out of time. But thank y'all for being attentive to the word. Go back and look at all these tie-ins and these definitions, because it's designed to slow us down and absorb as much as we can. Because why? Because people that live over in from Matthew to Revelation, when this happens, they're going to wish they read Amos. They're going to wish they had known about this word, this famine that was coming. Amen? Thank y'all. Shabbat shalom.